College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we will be joined by Loyola Chicago head coach Porter Moser. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also send me your college basketball related questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John J-O-N. Today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Geico. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And Geico offers coverage for more than just car insurance. Got a motorcycle? Geico's got you covered. Got an RV? Covered. Got a boat? Covered. How about homeowners or renters insurance? You bet Geico's got you covered. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save. That's geico.com. Now that we've got you all set with Geico, as we start to transition right now on the heels of Labor Day weekend, which is just around the corner a few days from now, it is a signal that school is starting. And while most of America is focused on the start of college football season, on this podcast, we obviously focus on college basketball. And off-season stuff is starting to wind down because we're going to see the start of fall workouts. We are approximately 4 weeks away from the start of practice, which will officially be September 25th. That's a Tuesday this year. We're done with all our conference previews. And you start right now to look ahead to the 18-19 season. And last week, we had something come out through the NCAA about the elimination of the RPI in terms of the use of the RPI when it comes to evaluating seeds for teams in the NCAA tournament. And it will be replaced right now by a new thing called NET. NET is replacing RPI. And look, I know that this created a big social media splash when it came out. There's going to be something new analytically that's going to replace RPI. And this is something, after looking at everything that was sent from the NCAA, that I split like an atom. You're going to debate the pros of NET versus the cons of RPI and vice versa till kingdom come. This is one thing you need to know. To make the NCAA tournament, if you are a team right now in college basketball, it still comes down to the same thing as long as the quadrant system is in place. You got to beat teams that are projected to be in the field. And that's the only time I want to spend on NET versus RPI. As other things, though, come to fruition in terms of the 18-19 season, we're obviously going to highlight a lot of key issues right now on the 18-19 season each and every week right here on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. One thing, and it was brought to my attention when I was, you know, studying up on Loyola Chicago from a year ago, and, you know, obviously thinking about the season they had, their win at Florida, their unbelievable run in the NCAA tournament. If you think back right now, 12 months ago, there was not a team really in college basketball that came from nowhere from a mid-major perspective like Loyola Chicago. Now, 2 years ago, Loyola Chicago, a solid 18-14 season, but they were just 8-10 in the Missouri Valley. All of a sudden, Wichita State goes to the American, and you have a season that changes the school, changes Porter Moser, a 32-6 overall record, 15-3, obviously, in Missouri Valley regular season play, and the rest is history. They go to a Final Four. They almost beat Michigan. But to me, this encapsulates, you know, what college basketball is about, because right now, if you looked at mid-majors in college basketball and you probably looked at those who had sub-500 records the year prior in their conference slate during the regular season, you wouldn't forecast them to go to a Final Four. This is what makes college basketball so unique. But what I'm curious about is, how can Loyola Chicago raise the bar? We'll find out when we talk to Porter Moser, the head coach of Loyola Chicago, coming up next on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.
No story captivated college basketball last season like Loyola Chicago's run to the Final Four. And the head coach of the Ramblers, Porter Moser, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And Coach, what's the biggest way your life has changed since the run of the Final Four?
You know, I don't know if it's changed. I mean, I think Loyola's basketball has been way more recognized, especially in Chicago. When I got the job 7 years ago, everyone told me it couldn't be done because it's a pro town. That's all they care about, the pro sports. And I think I found that is not true. You know, it's a sports town. And Chicago has just embraced us so much, just wherever we've gone this entire summer so far. And it's fun to see how much it captivated the city and how many people enjoyed the story and enjoyed our team. And that's what's been really fun to see, is that excitement around the city.
It's human nature to always want to achieve things if you're a competitive person in a competitive field. Do you feel any more complete as a person or different as a person because a year ago you were the coach of a Loyola Chicago team that went 18-14, and now you're the coach of a team that had a double-figure lead on Michigan in the national semifinals and went to the Final Four out of the Missouri Valley?
Well, I do think about that double-figure lead that we had against Michigan that we lost. And Chicago doesn't let you remind that. I mean, it's been unbelievable how much Michigan I see it everywhere in Chicago. But, I think just like a lot of competitive people, all I can been thinking about is what we can do to capture our culture, to improve, to get better. Everything has been about getting better. And I just haven't sat back and been like, hey, I'm a different person. I'm the same person, you know, this whole time. I feel that I'm trying to continue to learn, get better, evolve as a coach. And I just think we've got to really have that focus to get better. I've been really studying teams that continue success. And I want to capture that with our guys, and to where our arrow's continuing to go up. We're getting better, not staying the same from last year.
You know, you mentioned the Michigan game. You had a 10-point lead with 14 minutes left in that national semifinal. As you've reviewed it and played it back in your head, what happened down the stretch?
Well, I've played it back in my head a million times. Just, you know, we had a six-possession horrible stretch, and starting with two bad shots. And what happens with bad shots, they usually end up in layups. And we just had two uncharacteristics. We don't dribble into three-point shots a lot. We throw it forward a lot and pass ahead for threes, but we dribbled into two threes. And then we had four straight turnovers. It was six possessions, and it just kind of – we couldn't turn it. And Michigan, a team that good, and they capitalize on it, and they just didn't let us back in. And their length, closing out opportunities on defense – but it was a six possession really bad stretch for us offensively, and a lot of Mo Wagner.
Yeah, and there's no question about that. You know, it's interesting, Porter. You know, usually when you see mid majors go on a deep run, they've been in the NCAA tournament before, and they've had, you know, a taste of the field of 68. Your team in the first three NCAA wins won those three games by a combined 4 points. Were you even a little bit surprised at how good your team was in end-of-game situations, despite the fact that collectively there was no NCAA tournament experience?
You know, I think that was I wasn't surprised by it. I was, because they've been cool under pressure. We practice situations all the time. A lot of those things that we were doing, there's things that we do. We play the last 4 minutes. All year long, we end practice like playing last 4 minutes of different games and scenarios, and so I was surprised how, not surprised, but I was proud how they handled the stage each step, because it just grew and grew and grew to a microscope that we've never been under in terms of the national spotlight. And these guys had fun with it. We kind of set out and said, "Hey, we're going to have fun with this. We're going to be, but when it's time to get locked in, we're going to be locked in." And you know, this group was just so mature about it that I was and then you need, I mean, let's just face it, you to go on deep runs, you need some breaks. You know, Michigan got to the final game, but they had a couple shots as well, you know, in their run. You need that to go on it, and you got to be able to put yourself in a position to be able to hit a shot at the end of games.
Loyola Chicago head coach Porter Moser joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Ramblers fresh off a Final Four appearance last year in the Final Four. Now, as thrilled as you are to accomplish what you accomplished and make history, as you look back and you sit in your chair right now and you think about last season,
Do you feel like you let an opportunity slip away, or do you look back and say, you know what, it's great we made a Final Four? Where does the seesaw point in your mind right now?
That is a great question. And it's, God, it is seesawing. I have to try harder to look at the sit back and enjoy it more than I am thinking about what we could have done to be playing Monday night. I'm thinking more about what we could have done to be in playing Monday night. And it's so much, and so many coaches will tell you, especially when you're older. When you're younger, sometimes you're just so focused on your career, on this and that. And the older you get in this profession, the more you really enjoy the journey of the people you're with. And that's the real joy. And I had such an amazing time of my life with the group of people we had in the locker room, the people at Loyola, the families that were involved with the players. I mean, just first-class, A-plus people and families. And that is what I really enjoyed when I look back on everything, is just the times we had with the group we had. And then the seesaw tips back on the other side, and I really start thinking about, you know, you work so hard to get your program to a certain point that you want to keep pushing through that wall. You don't want to have a ceiling of what you can do. And I just start getting really obsessed with trying to break through that ceiling and the barrier to get Loyola to another level consistently and not just a one-year deal.
What was your message to the team in the locker room after the Michigan game?
After the Michigan game? That was just, you know, keeping their heads up. And, you know, on one hand, as a coach, I loved the dynamic of they were pissed. They really felt they were going to win it all. It wasn't a fake belief. They believed they were going to win it all. And they were crushed in the locker room after the game. So you love that belief. You love that belief in each other. But my message was to pick their head up. And, you know, I got chills thinking about that. Just taking me back to that moment of walking off the floor with Ben Richardson. I mean, just someone who will have no regrets because he left every ounce of energy and work throughout the year, not just in March. He invested through the summer and everything, and he was just physically spent and crushed walking off the floor. And I just told him, keep your head up. You guys, you just changed the direction of a program. You changed the mindset of a university, of a fan base. You did something that is very, very hard to do, but you did it the right way. You did it with a lot of character. You did a lot of effort, a lot of unselfishness. And that was my message, to keep their head up at a time when I knew they were crushed.
Porter Moja, head coach of Loyola Chicago, joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Now, you are part of now what is a special fraternity. You've coached in a Final Four. There are a lot of great coaches who never had that honor. Gene Cady at Purdue, John Chaney at Temple. But this also wasn't your first head coaching job. You were at Arkansas Little Rock. You had a four-year stint at Illinois State that ended in 2007. How much different are you as a coach right now versus when you coached your last game in Illinois State?
I'm a lot different. I mean, and if I wasn't, shame on me. You know, you got to get better through your experiences. And I've got to be better this year than I was last year. You got to evolve. You got to continue, you know, of getting better. But, you know, I think obviously you can't put a price tag on my time with Coach Majerus, the 4 years I spent with him. But not only the basketball and the teaching tactician parts of the game that he was just, in my opinion, a genius with, but it was just validating about, you know, doing it the right way, you know, with the type of kids that we wanted to get, toughness, skilled, guys that really just have a winning gene with them. And it kind of validated it. And then just not to change who I am. You know, I've always been like a high energy guy and just not changing. And because sometimes when you go through what I went through at Illinois State, and if you were blessed enough to get another opportunity, so many really good coaches that I know, like, got caught in the business side of it, gets fired, and they can't get another job. And that is a real fact. There's a lot of, like, really good coaches. I was very, very blessed to get another job. And sometimes when you get that opportunity, you get a little anxious. Like, your mind starts playing you know, mental gymnastics with you about, you know, do I got to rush things? Is this going to happen? Will this happen again if my AD, and you start, and it just kind of validated, you know, I was a little older and, you know, my time with coaches, and I credit Loyola too, of giving me time to do it the right way. And I just felt that we were going to do it a certain way. It took some time, and it just, I feel like I definitely, if they don't get better, they're not living.
You know, it's funny though how life works out, because if Illinois doesn't part ways with you, you don't have the opportunity to work for Rick Majerus. What's the biggest way he has impacted how you run things at Loyola Chicago each and every day?
Well, one, it just validates my faith, you know, in God, that, you know, he had a plan. As much as that point was one of the lowest points in my professional life, it turned out to be the biggest blessing in my life. And it's sure that my faith has taught me that's part of his plan. So that was one of them. Two, with Coach Majerus, is just, you know, how he taught things, the development piece, teaching the game. You know, I felt that, you know, on both ends. I love where we ended up in the country in offensive and defensive efficiency. I love the attention to detail. He was methodically slow in the early months of practice, September, October, November. And sometimes, you know, when I was younger, you're like, you feel like you got to cover everything. I got to cover point A to point Z in 3 weeks, and you're not good at any of it. And he didn't care. He picked what he really wanted to be good at, especially early, and drove it home. And I think that part of it, of not trying to go too fast, be better in the later months because you really got your philosophy defensively down, the teaching points, the fundamentals. And he was so good at that. He just had such a confidence in himself that he didn't care. I mean, he just knew what he wanted. And I loved that part of him.
How much, and I know during the NCAA tournament, you're going, you know, in a million different directions, you're thinking about next opponent, but how much during that run was he in your thoughts, especially with how dramatic each and every game was in the first three rounds?
He was in my thoughts a lot, as was my other mentor, Tony Barone, who gave me my coaching start, who I played for at Creighton. You know, both those are, because you're so grateful to what you've learned along the way. And but, you know, with Coach Majerus, you know, with him and being with him and really picking me up off my feet after what happened. And he was really in my ear about staying confident in who I was, you know, giving me confidence as a coach. And when you hear it from a guy like him, it meant a lot to me. And then I remember when the opportunity came up with Loyola, you know, I grew up a Catholic kid in Chicago. I went to a Jesuit school at Creighton. St. Louis was a Jesuit school. He's like, God, Loyola's a Jesuit school in the city you're from. He's like, you got to take the job if you can get it. And it wasn't like he wanted me to leave. It was just he wanted the best for me. And then my whole first year, John, like he didn't pass to my second year. His whole first year, he was calling me, telling, you know, writing me letters. I got them right here in my office desk drawer about, you know, doing it the right way. And I'll tell you the other story that he did. When they won to go to the NCAA tournament, the night of Selection Sunday, I was here and I helped build all those you know, was a big part of recruiting, you know, along with Chris Harriman and Al Jensen, recruiting those players at St. Louis. And he called me to thank me. Then when they beat Memphis, he literally called me in the locker room before the game and then later that night, thanking me, talking to me. And then when it was all over, they lost to Michigan State the second round, called me again. I'm like, I mean, that's what amazing that I was on his thoughts. And he was just so much in my thoughts of helping me pick up, you know, off the ground after a low point in my career.
Well, Coach Majerus, you know, may he rest in peace, knew obviously about dealing with expectations because he became a flagship program when he was at Utah, and the same thing happened in his latter years at St. Louis. You are now going from the hunter to the hunted. How much have you talked about with your team dealing with human nature and now the fact that if Loyola Chicago is beaten by an opponent this year, it's going to be a marquee win for the opposition?
You know, we talked about it all summer. We talked about it again last night. We started school today. We had a team meeting last night. And we talked about it a lot, that we've got to continue to chase. We're chasing. We're not, you know, John Gordon said it best. He's like, when you start talking about defending a championship, defending this, you're so much on your heels playing backwards. We want to be aggressive, and we're chasing. We feel like we're just getting started as a program, that we got a lot to prove. And, you know, little Joe Madden, Chicago Cubs in us, he had, you know, embraced the target. You know, embrace it, that. And you can't put a price tag on the success that we had, what we learned from it. They tasted it. They've been on that stage, and we want to use that in a positive. But I think that the message is, we got to stay with the foot on the gas pedal. That we're chasing. We didn't play Monday night. You know, we didn't get there, and we just feel that we're not going to sit back on our heels and try to defend everything. We've got to be ultra aggressive. And the other message, John, was we can't stay the same. We've got to get better. We've got to get better. Part of this process, I think we had a great summer. And probably the best summer we've ever had here. And we got to have a great fall.
Well, you mentioned obviously getting better. You return a couple of key pieces from last year, Clayton Custer, Marcus Towns, obviously Cameron Krutwig, who had a big role for you last year inside. You lose several key pieces. Who do you think takes a step from who returns from your nucleus last year, and what new pieces could we see emerge for the Ramblers in 18-19?
Well, I've been very cognizant of, like, talking with Clayton, Marcus, and Cam, who all three started and were significant roles. You know, Clayton was the player of the year. Krutwig was freshman of the year all league, about getting better. You know, we just can't say, oh, those guys are going to be good, and like, who else is going to play? Those guys have got to get better. They've got to set the tone of improvement. You know, in terms of guys getting the opportunity, Lucas Williamson really was in Ben Richardson's footprint of – he was probably our second-best defender behind Ben and took pride in that. He was a guy that played significant minutes off the bench. He has gotten so much stronger this offseason, and I look for him to really, you know, step up and play that kind of a role. You know, we had a young man sitting out, Lou Aldang's cousin, Ahir Agok. He set out. We've had a lot of success with redshirting kids and developing them. Milton Doyle, who's in with the Brooklyn Nets up until last year, sat out. Clayton sat out from Iowa State. Marcus Towns sat out. And Ahir is now the next one that sat out, is ready to go. I'm excited for him. But we have some guys like Bruno Skokna, who, you know, came off the bench, was like our seventh or eighth guy. He's been in the program 2 years now. These are all great opportunities for guys like that. I really like our freshmen. So it's going to be a collective group. I hope to be deep. And we only have 10 scholarships that are eligible to play in terms of not sitting out. So we're going to need every hand on deck.
Well, and the hope, too, when you have a run like you had, is to give the team that, you know, you're going to coach more opportunities to play showcase games. And, you know, you and I have talked about this a lot since the Final Four. Scheduling right now, especially if you're a quality mid-major, has become one of the hardest parts of the job, because with power conferences going to 20 games in conference play, it's harder to get good games. We know you're going to get Nevada at home in a Sweet 16 rematch as part of the MVC Mountain West Challenge. We know, obviously, about the tournament that you're in Florida with obviously Richmond, Wyoming, and Boston College, and we know that you're going to play St. Joe's at the Palestra. Are there any other marquee games that Loyola Chicago will be able to get in 18-19?
Well, we got a game against, I think, I don't know if you mentioned, just we play Maryland in the Big Ten. We play that
in Baltimore.
Baltimore. Yep. It's it's dubbed as a neutral game, but it's 30 minutes from their campus. It's in Baltimore,
game.
But it is a Big Ten game. There, but John, you hit it on the head. It's been unbelievably hard, and people would say to me, scheduling has got to be much easier now, and it's not the case. It just so happens to be the year where a lot of these schools or leagues are going to 20 conference games, and you know, I've flat out been told, you know, by coaches that are friends of mine, you know, just, you know, we don't have to. We're playing 20 conference games. We're playing a challenge. Playing an MTE. And, you know, they don't want an extra game like that. We've been told flat out by some high major leagues that they're only playing non-conference against other high majors. They're looking for a Power 5 non-conference game. And we're like, well, we should have a decent RPI. We'll be good. And they're like, well, it doesn't fit our problem. We've been kind of told other Power 5. And that's another difficult under-the-scenes thing that's being told to us. And so it's still becomes an issue of the scheduling. We're trying to put together the best schedule we can, And but I will say, John, one thing that's really going to help is I think the Missouri Valley Conference is going to be the best it's been in many years. I mean, there's a number of teams that will have the ability. I would be absolutely shocked if we don't get multiple teams in this year. I would, because of so many players are returning. You got Illinois State, Bradley, Southern Illinois, teams, all of us finished in the top four last year, have a ton back. And I think that's going to bode well against other high-ranked teams in our league, games against each other. So that's going to be a great thing, how good the Valley will be this year.
Do you anticipate, in addition to the tournament in Florida, in addition to Nevada, St. Joe's, and Maryland, adding, you know, another non-conference game of significance before you release your total non-conference schedule?
Yeah, we're gonna do a series with Ball State, and I think Ball State, he's done a great job. James done a great job over there. They have two transfers, one from Arkansas, one from Missouri. They got a lot of Taylor Parsons back. They're gonna be one of the premier teams in the MAC, and you know, I know schools like Buffalo, Ball State, us, you know, have had tough getting games at the end here, and we're gonna do a series with Ball State. I think that'll be a great series for both of us.
That starts at home or starts on the road?
It's gonna start at home.
Okay, very good. Well, you know, it's funny, you know, how much difference a year makes. A year ago, everybody in the Missouri Valley was, you know, concerned about moving on post-Wichita State with them going to the American. You guys go to the Final Four. If you think back a year ago, what was the talk amongst coaches in the league about, you know, moving on without the Shockers?
I can tell you what I said, and we all kind of said it. We all kind of knew that, gosh, we're recruiting some really good players. Like, I know how well coaches know about the recruiting. Fan bases think they do. Message boards think they do. But the coaches know, because we're out there watching these kids all summer. And we kind of were scratching our head going, man, there's been a lot of really good players our league has recruited. But I tell you what I said, and I date back from playing in the league way back to when we lost Tulsa. And we lost different schools. And you just continue to see the league respond with adding someone who has significant success. You look at, you know, I remember when I started, it was Southwest Missouri State at the time. And then obviously it's Missouri State. But they weren't in the league when I played. And then they added them. Tulsa left. And that was a team that reached the Sweet 16. You know, Northern Iowa came in. Northern Iowa came in, and they are multiple Sweet 16 teams. We came in when Creighton left, and now we just went to the Final Four. Teams keep evolving and rising to the challenge, because top to bottom, these cities in the Missouri Valley, these fan bases are basketball crazy, really good fan bases. The school, basketball is really important to these schools. It's a basketball league, and it always will be, and it'll rise to the occasion. And that's something that we were saying last year when Wichita left, and I think our drum of the Missouri Valley is going to be louder than it's ever been this year with how good the league's going to be.
Final thing, Porter, we have seen a Final Four run captivate programs to new heights. We saw it with VCU. We saw it with Butler. We obviously saw it with Wichita State. You signed a long-term deal in the offseason. You're obviously got deep Chicago roots. How do you make this thing now the next great mid-major, as we've seen other programs do after they went to the Final Four?
Absolutely, you have to put the foot on the gas pedal. You can't sit back and feel entitled and continue to, you know, look backwards and, you know, bask in the glory and say, you got to stay hungry. And what I've talked to our fan bases, our administration, our coaches, our players, my mirror, I've said, you know, you look at great organizations, great companies, everything. They're constantly evolving. They're constantly getting better. They're constantly reinvesting. We've got to do that. We've got to capitalize on this moment and not just say, all right, we're here. It's just going to take care of itself. No good company, no, that everybody constantly is trying to reinvest, evolve, get better. And that has got to be a message to everybody. And it's just not one person. It's just not me. It's got to be a fan base, an administration, a locker room, a coaching staff. And that's been our message, that let's just all extend this reach and put the foot on the gas pedal and move forward.
Well, Porter, it's going to be a lot of fun to cover. Appreciate a couple minutes this morning. Best of luck as you start fall workouts, and looking forward to staying connected along the way.
Hey, John, thanks for having me on today.
We'd like to thank Loyola Chicago head coach Porter Moser for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Geico. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And Geico offers coverage for more than just car insurance. Got a motorcycle? Geico's got you covered. Got an RV? Covered. Got a boat? Covered. How about homeowners or renters insurance? You bet Geico's got you covered. Go to Geico.com today and see how much you could save. That's Geico.com. And time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question comes from Pat O'Brien. And it's, John, who dances from the Atlantic 10 this season? And, you know, I think the top four teams in the Atlantic 10 right now are St. Louis, a high major roster for the Billikens under Travis Ford, St. Joe's with the return of Charlie Brown, Davidson with Kellen Grady at three, and then Rhode Island at four. Our next question is going to come from N. Cowell, and it's, John, what type of leap could UConn make this season? I saw UConn practice a couple of weeks ago, and this was my conclusion. If Al-Tariq Gilbert is healthy after missing, obviously, large portions of the last two seasons with a shoulder injury, you have a dynamic player in the backcourt next to Jalen Adams, and it gives UConn a chance to have a second all-conference player. Without Tariq Gilbert, I think UConn could push in an underdog-type role and be a dark horse candidate for an NCAA bid. Without him, I think it will be a very, very tough season for Dan Hurley and company. I see one other player other than Jalen Adams in terms of UConn's roster with the potential to be an all-conference player. That player is Al-Tariq Gilbert. And our next question is going to come from Adam Portscheller. And it's, John, do you think Illinois could surprise and make the tournament, the NCAA tournament? What do you think of their non-conference schedule? And look, Adam, I have said this many times. You think about teams right now that just have gauntlets in front of them in the non-conference portion of the schedule, and you start with Illinois. Illinois is going to play 20 Big Ten games. They're also going to play three games at the Maui Invitational. The first one is against Gonzaga, who I have number two in my preseason top 25. They've got a neutral site game against Missouri, as they always do. They're at Notre Dame in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. They are home against UNLV. They're home against Georgetown in the Gavitt Games. I think this is going to be a transitional year for Brad Underwood. A lot of new faces right now. I think Illinois, right, I would be surprised if Illinois is in the top half of the Big Ten this year, but I gotta be honest, they got no favors done for them by that early Big Ten schedule. They go to Nebraska, which is a very difficult place to play, and that will be in December. And they also won't have a true home game in the Big Ten's early slate of regular season games. They will play Ohio State in Chicago, obviously the site of the 2019 Big Ten tournament. Now, let's get to some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, trial by fire. Louisville's non-conference schedule this season, exceptionally brutal. First year under Chris Mack. Tennessee in the preseason NIT, then the winner-loser of Kansas and Marquette. Michigan State at home as part of the ACC Big Ten Challenge. At Seton Hall, at Indiana, and Kentucky, all before 18 ACC games. Let's go to number two, and that is identity change. No team in college basketball may undergo more of an identity transformation than Arizona State. A year ago, Arizona State, guard you, Shannon Evans, Trey Holder, Cody Justice. Now, Arizona State, bigger, longer, better defensively. I saw Arizona State practice last year. The two guys who really stood out, two transfers, Rob Edwards from Cleveland State, Zylan Cheatham from San Diego State. Both should start for Bobby Hurley's club, who I think is a dark horse that could sneak to the top of the Pac-12 standings. Nugget number three, the power of player retention. Next season will be the first time since Shaka Smart's been at Texas that he will return at least three of his top five scorers. Texas somewhat off the radar in the Big 12. They don't have an incoming player that's expected to be a lottery pick like they've had the past few seasons with Jared Allen and Mo Bamba, but you heard it here first. This will be Shaka Smart's best team at Texas. Why? Player retention. Matt Coleman, back. Dylan Ossetkowski, back. Kerwin Roach, back. And Jericho Sims, primed to be a breakout guy in the Big 12. Remember the name. Nugget number four, all eyes on Colin. Villanova, obviously losing four players to the NBA. Jalen Brunson, Mikal Bridges, Dante DiVincenzo, Omari Spellman. One guy set for a breakout season, Colin Gillespie. Last year as a freshman, logged 20 or more minutes six times, averaged just over 7 points per game during that span. He should emerge as a key piece for Jay Wright and Villanova. Nugget number five, a hidden duck. Well-embedded moles in the great Northwest telling me the surprise of the summer at Oregon has been 6'4 freshman Will Richardson. He's not getting the same attention in the Ducks' fabled recruiting class as guys like Bol Bol or Lewis King, but Will Richardson will be a factor for Oregon in 18-19. Don't be shocked in spurts if Dana Altman plays him at the point and moves Peyton Pritchard off the ball. Oregon, again, I think a consensus pick to win the Pac-12 in 18-19. Like to thank Loyola Chicago's Porter Moser for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.